Welcome to Freedom's Way Ministries and our message this evening. For anybody who has opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand that this is a live teleconference meeting, which means that people will be dialing in from around the country. So we're going to begin the message in about 3 to 5 minutes in order to give everyone a chance to get here and say hello. If you would like to join Freedom's Way on these teleconference meetings, they're held every Monday night and Friday night at 8:30 Eastern Time. To get in on the live call, you would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-POUND. It spells free me on your telephone keypad. You can also go online to www.freedomswayministries.com for more information about us. So again, welcome. Welcome to our live and in-person people. If you would like to say hello, now's a good time to do that.
Hi, Vicki. This is Helen.
Thank you for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
Hello there. This is Claudia.
Thank you for being here. Hallelujah.
Yes. Welcome. I love being here.
We love that.
That's right. We love being here, too.
It's my happy place.
Praise God.
That's great. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Good to be. Good to have you with us.
I understand happy place, Claudia. When and you know, I can make a certain turn toward our property, and I'm like, yep. I'm in my happy place.
Oh, that's nice. I'm so glad you found that place. It's wonderful.
Me too. It has its challenges. But
well,
I just love it.
I'm so
glad. We were like Mom and Pa cattle sitting down on the deck this afternoon in our rocking chairs.
Oh, that's good. Nice to have a little area where you can be.
Oh, yes, and it was such a beautiful day here in Florida. Oh, my gosh.
It was here, too. It was cold. No, I haven't even been out
cold.
Yet. Yeah, it was cold here.
Nope. We were not cold. It was very pleasant.
Good.
We're on a low 7.
Yeah.
It was what? I'm sorry.
Low 70s.
Oh, wonderful. I thought that's what he said. I thought, no, surely it wasn't. That's great.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else want to say hello before I mute your phones?
Hello, hello. I want to say hello, too. How are you?
Thank you, Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
Oh, dear. How's everything? All righty. Glad to be here, too. My happy place. Thanks for having
me. We're going to have to write us a song.
That's right. Yeah, Phil just said that you all make it his happy place. I think we have here a mutual admiration society.
Right.
We do.
And the Holy Spirit is at the center.
Mm-hmm.
So, I am going to mute your phone so that we can get started tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Pastor Phil to pray and introduce us. And
good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Monday night teaching. This we are Freedom's Way Ministries. And my name is Phil Burdett, and I'm here with my wife, Vicki. Our mission is to help you come into your full identity in Christ and all the benefits thereof. And anything we can do in that area, we're glad to do. Amen. And we have a blessing for you tonight, a message that will bless you. You will love it. So get ready. I'm going to pray us in, and we're going to get rolling. Father God, we just thank you for this time in your word, and we thank you for your anointing on this word. Lord, we are excited about your word, your wisdom, your knowledge, all of your teaching. God, we are excited, and we honor you in that. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority over any spirit that would try to interfere, interlope, or cause any confusion related to the word as it goes forth. And I just loose the Holy Spirit on that word to bless it for the hearers and give them exactly the spiritual meal that they need. So thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless your people as they hear. We give you honor and glory in it and give you all, actually all the praise and all the glory. It's all about you, Jesus.
Yes.
We just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your anointing on this word about the anointing. Hallelujah. So here we go.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, this is our second week in the series called Understanding and Moving in the Anointing of God. And hopefully after our introductory message last week, you all will understand a little more now about the anointing of God and that you have an anointing from God. The anointing is always with purpose. It is always God's purpose. And the anointing comes with an appointing from God for certain tasks, as well as empowering us to accomplish those tasks successfully. You know, a lot of people believe, and some churches even teach this, that Satan was put on earth to test us and to torment us so that we could be proven somehow to God. I believe it's just the opposite. I believe that we were created to torment the devil. He was already here. God made us to give him a kick in the shins. It's time for us to recognize the anointing of God in us and torment a few devils. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the good news is this. The anointing is in us.
Amen.
And it has power. On this earth, we need God's anointing to flow in us and through us. Our prayer tonight is that you will begin to get a real revelation of who you are and the anointing God has put within you. As we speak, we expect revelation to be birthed in your spirit. You will get revelations beyond the words of our mouths because of God's anointing in you. Revelation is simply that which has been covered being uncovered so you can see it. Take a look.
Reveal.
Amen. So we're going to take another look now at our foundation scripture for this series, Acts 10:38, as follows. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Some people think they can't do the things Jesus did because, and we quote, Jesus was God and I'm not. Some people think he was half God and half man, but that is an incorrect belief. Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man. And while he was here on earth, he operated as 100% man with the 100% anointing of God. If he was operating as God and not man, he would not have needed to be anointed. The anointing was already there. God is the source of all anointing, so if Jesus was operating on earth as God, he would not needed to have God anoint him in order to do good, to bring healing, and to free people from the oppressions of the devil.
You know, that is such a strong point.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus operated as a man with God's anointing. God would not have anointed him if he was God. I mean, if he operated as God in the earth. God anointed Jesus, and God has anointed every one of us. What are you doing with the anointing that he smeared into you? Most people simply keep it to themselves, but I encourage you to spread it around. We've learned the only things you get to keep are the ones you give away. Anointing is like love. It grows when you give it away. It doesn't diminish. When you use God's anointing in you to do good, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, it increases in you so that it gets down in your bones. It oozes from your very being. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures to show you from the word that I am telling the truth. 2 Kings 13, verse 21. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Wow, that's a lot of anointing in the bones. Acts 19, verse 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick, pardon me, handkerchiefs or aprons. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. There was so much anointing in Paul that he got into his clothes. He got into whatever was touching him. Hallelujah. As we begin to get a revelation of our anointing, admit we have it, and begin to impart it, we lose the fear and the doubt that have controlled us and limited our effectiveness. We reject the lies the devil has instilled in us about our inabilities. Are we weak? You bet. Yes, we are. But we're anointed by God with the yoke-destroying, bondage-breaking anointing, and nothing can stop the anointing of God.
Amen. It is the anointing of God that will allow us to live a life of breakthrough for ourselves and also to bring breakthrough to others. There is a difference in a church that operates in power and a church that just operates.
You can say that again.
Yeah, well, you know, church is actually, many of them is just something people do on Sunday or it just becomes a tradition. So when you're up, you know, it's a totally different church that is really seeking the Lord in a powerful way and can operate in his power.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. The world is crying out for a gospel it can experience, not one it just hears about. We need to learn how to tap into the anointing that God has put within us and, like Paul, present to the world a demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. Our faith has to be in His power, not His promises. And it is His power, not His promises, which will cause faith to rise in others. Why is it that some people's prayers seem to get picked up and answered, and other people's prayers just lie there at God's feet like a dead thing? Isn't He listening to everybody? Doesn't He love us all? The answer, of course, is yes, He loves us, and yes, He hears us. However.
Well, there are some specific reasons spelled out in Scripture as to why prayers can be hindered. But for the sake of time, we're not going to go there tonight because this message is about the anointing. Some people have learned to tap into the anointing, and some people are in unbelief that they have any. Those who can draw from the anointing within are able to put a demand on heaven that others never even thought of. Well, consider Billy Graham as an example, and the anointing of evangelism that he carried. He didn't preach a complicated message, and he did not stir up people's flesh and tickle their ears. But what he did do, he tapped into the anointing and the appointing of God to use that anointing, and hundreds of thousands of people received what he had to say. His anointing brought him before kings and priests and world leaders of every sort, and helped change lives and shape history around the world. Because of his anointing, faith arose, not faith in the wisdom of man, but faith in the power of God.
Amen. Amen. People are not interested in hearing about God. They've heard it all. They've already heard it. They're interested in experiencing God. They need the touch from heaven that opens their heart, that changes their circumstances, that touch that heals their bodies, that sets their minds free from fear and torment, the touch from heaven that brings peace and joy and love into them and into their lives. They need a now word. They need a now answer to their problem.
That's right. Someone out there may be feeling condemned right now because that's you. You're the one who needs faith to rise. You're the one who needs the touch from heaven, the healing in your body, the peace in your soul. And here we are telling you to let your anointing flow out. First, I want you to know, if you're feeling accused and condemned, that's the devil. Next, I want you to know that your feelings can't stop the anointing of God. Hallelujah. If you don't feel like praying and expecting a miracle, here's the key: do it anyway. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 16, says the following. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
This is really key. We need strengthening in our inner man.
Yeah.
Don't we? We need strengthening in our inner man. Strengthened with might. That is not just survival strength. Oh, Lord, just let me make it through the week. That's asking for outer strength. But we're talking here about inner strength. Unfortunately, most of us Christians are living by the outer man and not the inner one.
That's true.
The anointing has to do with living from the inner man and not the outward one. Releasing the anointing from our inner man has to do with four primary things. I am going to give them to you. You can write these down. It's important that you answer these questions. Think about it. Ponder them. These are the four things that releasing the anointing from the inner man has everything to do with. First of all, do I believe I have the anointing? This is paramount. Second, have I tapped into the anointing? Third, am I exercising the power of God through the anointing? And finally, how big is my faith in the anointing? And that sounds a little odd, but I think self-explanatory. How big is my faith?
Well, how big is your faith? For example, yeah. Or you know, can you believe the anointing to heal a headache but not cancer? We need to be strengthened in our inner man in these four areas so that we can flow in God's anointing and do like Jesus did. And that is, go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. In order to accomplish that, I have to be totally dependent on the power of God inside of me. If I am totally dependent on the power of God in me, then it doesn't matter if it's a headache or a heart attack, because nothing can stop the anointing.
Amen.
Step out in faith, saints.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go through these four things one more time. First of all is your belief that you are anointed. Do I believe I have the anointing? Have I tapped into it? Are you reaching down in there and strengthening that inner man and pulling it out? Am I exercising the power of God through the anointing? You know, that question has a lot of facets to it, one of which is you have to believe the power of God. In order to exercise the power of God, you have to know that we serve a God of the impossible. If it's possible for you to do it, why do you need God? And finally, you know, how big is your faith in the anointing? What can you truly believe the anointing will do? So let's just take a little step back to those on the line who need the anointing to flow into them for healing or for peace or for whatever. You're lacking something. Even though you have the anointing too, you have an easier time praying in the anointing for someone else than in believing it for yourself. A lot of people will say that. I don't have a problem believing for you. It's believing for me that's a problem. Well, this is what you do in that case. Pull the anointing out of the other one. Pull the anointing out of someone else. When someone prays for you, begin to put a demand on God's anointing in them and draw it forth. Pull it out and receive it. It doesn't matter that the person praying for you isn't a big-name preacher. You do not have to be a conference junkie and follow every healing ministry that comes along or be in every meeting. Get your own children to pray for you. Go to a neighbor. Call a friend. You know, when I was in the hospital, he knew I was going to say this. Oh, you tell it. I didn't have every single person that came in that room, every person, I had them pray for me. Everyone. So, you know, I ended up teaching a lot of people how to pray, but I was also drawing on them. I was drawing on the anointing that God had put within them that many of them didn't even recognize they had. Hallelujah.
Amen. And they probably didn't want to do it, but they were put on the spot. She just go, somebody walk in, she just say, pray for me. And they'd have to come up with a prayer. But, you know, God can honor that. So, hallelujah. God is good. So, let's look at the woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8. Verses 43 through 46. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood
Staunched?
Stopped. Yeah, well, let's go with stopped. Sorry for retranslating the King James here. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged you and pressed you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." This woman drew on the anointing. She put a demand on heaven. She touched the hem of Jesus' robe, and he doesn't say she grabbed it or held on to it or even that she touched his body. It doesn't say she had him lay his hands on her and pray for her or even look at her. She touched his robe, and the anointing he carried flowed out of him and into her to set her free. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, God doesn't mind that. In fact, he likes to be touched. He likes to be touched. It's a compliment to him when we trust his anointing and we draw on it to set us free from bondage and to destroy the yoke so that it can't be put back on us again. Hallelujah. If you don't squeeze an orange, you're not going to get orange juice. You can't just put the orange on your counter and talk to it. You know, you say, "Come on, orange. Come on, give me some juice. Give me your juice, orange." You can't get anywhere begging for it either. "Please, orange, give me some juice. I know you have it. You can give it to me if you just would. Come on, please, please.
I know it's an extreme example, but it is does make a point. It does make a point.
And that's what we do with God's anointing. I mean, it really is.
Well, and that's a lot like what we do with the anointing. He's given it to us, put it in us, smeared it all over us. He's rubbed it in, but we wait for it to happen instead of working it. People in the body of Christ like to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and especially the gift of miracles. But according to Scripture, that is not a gift.
That's not.
No, it's not the gift. Take a look at what the Word says about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues.
Hallelujah. So, did you hear that? Did you, if you were reading with Bill, did you see it? It isn't the gift of miracles. It's the gift of working of miracles. God is certainly not out of the miracle business, but we have got to work them. They don't just happen. They happen because someone puts a demand on the anointing of God and pulls it out so that the miracle is worked. The gospel is demonstrated in power, not just in word. It's revealed through the wisdom of God and not man through the anointing inside of us. We work the miracle. And the gift is given to the one for whom it was meant, the one who needed the miracle. Hallelujah. Don't claim God's gifts as your own. Oh, I have the gift of healing. No, you don't. The Holy Spirit has the gift of healing. And that gift is for someone who needs it. Now, maybe he uses you to work it, but it's not your gift.
Amen. Good word. Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of disappointment, fear of rejection, fear of looking bad, all kinds of fear will come to hinder us from drawing on the anointing. So we all have to decide if we're going to have faith in fear or we're going to have faith in God and His Word. I don't care what the devil says. God said, the God of the universe, the God who holds all things together, the God who is the source of life and strength and power, God said. So what if the world says otherwise? God said. We can begin to draw on the anointing with what God said, and putting our faith in what God said. We can put a demand on His Word, bring forth His truth, receive His blessings. I remember speaking to a fellow one time, and he said that, you know, he was put in the position to pray for, he was so scared if this guy didn't get healed, he was going to look so bad and all that. And I think it actually made it come from Sid Roth. And said that he had, you know, he went ahead, okay, well, he got the guy to agree to be prayed for, so he mustered up his faith and went in and prayed for him. He says, I think it was a family member, too. He says, oh, he got healed. Thank God. Oh, and he was so relieved. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But, you know, you do need to understand the result's not up to you.
Amen.
You know, you just do what God said. God said, and we act on that word. You know, a lot of people were touching Jesus in the press when the woman with the issue of blood touched him. But hers was a different kind of touch. Hers was a pull. It was a draw on the anointing. And he felt the virtue go out of him. The anointing was not intentionally imparted by Jesus, but it was imparted nonetheless. I will tell you, it's a real blessing to be around people and have them draw an anointing out of you. There have been times when I've been around people and they begin to feel joy rise up in them. Those of you who know me know I'm a very joyful person. And it is an anointing from God. That's an impartation of anointing that they have drawn out of me. Other people feel a real sense of calm or peace. As very few things ruffle me. I don't get frantic. I don't think. Do I feel?
No.
Yeah, so I'm pretty even, and they draw that from me. And, you know, I have a friend, a good friend, who's a very strong woman of God. She comes to the office regularly, and most of the time, we don't have any kind of agenda. We just talk. We see where the Holy Spirit takes us. And I remember about a year ago, I asked her why she kept coming every week. She said she needed her Vicky fix, which I thought was really funny because I get as much from her as she gets from me. There's a flow of anointing between us that serves us both very well, and it serves God. She touches him through me, and power is released. Praise God. Praise God. So let's begin right now tonight to draw on the anointing within us and each other to work the miracles that are needed in people's lives, in our own lives, and in the lives of those around us. As we pray this prayer tonight, let's use it as a catalyst, a starting point, to bring freedom from oppression, to break and destroy the yoke of bondage from hell. Hallelujah. Phil, would you lead us tonight?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So pray this out loud.
Pray it out loud. Pray with me. Father God.
Father God.
Thank you for this word. Thank you that I am your anointed.
Lord God.
And that I carry your anointing. I repent to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For allowing fear to hinder me from flowing in your anointing. I repent for unbelief and for trusting worldly wisdom rather than drawing from your wisdom. I repent for denying the anointing and for withholding the anointing that you've given me. I repent to you for not bringing forth a gospel.
Bringing forth a gospel
people can experience instead of one they just hear about.
Instead of one. one they just hear about.
I can see that it's up to me, Father, to work the miracles.
Work the miracles.
By tapping into your anointing. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I declare to you.
I declare to you.
I believe I am anointed.
I believe I am anointed.
I declare. I will tap into the anointing.
Into the anointing.
In myself and others.
In others.
I will exercise your power.
Exercise the power.
Through the anointing in myself and others. And I will grow my faith. In the anointing. So that I am assured. So that I know that I know. Your anointing in me. Is great enough to accomplish any purpose, any healing, any miracle. You alone are God, the God of all power, the God who created the universe. And everything in it. The God who holds it all together. There is nothing too difficult for you. And I ask that this truth settle in my inmost being. Bringing power that transforms.
Transform
your promises, into benefits in my life and in the lives of others. And I declare that the blood of the Lord Jesus is all powerful and effective to free me.
Hallelujah.
To free me from fear, doubt, and unbelief, and release me into a greater flow of your awesome anointing. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes, I have preached myself happy. If a little short message tonight. If you have a comment or a question, you can push the *6 keys on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your telephone so that we can all hear you. And I am so glad that you joined us tonight. I was working on next week's message earlier today, and oh my goodness, it gets even better. Woo. Any comments, questions? Well, let me know you're here. Hey, good. Well, thank you for being here.
Congratulations.
Hey, yeah, I'm thinking about, you know, the drawing the anointing out. And, you know, I'd have to say in my own experience that the purity, that purity is required in one or the other, one of the two parties' motives.
I agree.
I don't know why. I don't know why I'm bringing that up, but. Yeah, I'm thinking about all the times where God flowed or used me as a vessel, and those times when it really required a miracle, there was purity in that need. it wasn't, anyway, enough of me.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
It wasn't, I agree. It wasn't a self-focused thing. It was a motivated in love thing. And that makes it pure in the eyes of God. So yes, I agree. Thank you for adding that.
Also, and thank you for helping, you know, teach me how to, you know, really not just operate in the anointing, but to treat the anointing with the respect that it does demand, you know. And I think a lot of times that people want the signs and the wonders without, I don't know what to say about that either.
Well, I think the easiest way to explain that or the analogy to that is that we live in this fast food society, this I want it hot and I want it now. And we have a tendency to transfer that over into the spirit realm and into the things of God. So that, you know, hey, if God, I need this by Tuesday at 2:00, and if you don't have it by then, you must not be God kind of mentality that needs to change and needs to be recognized for what it is, which is a self-focused, what am I trying to say? It's a selfish thing. It's a self-focused perspective. That's what I'm trying to say, rather than a God-focused. You know, there are lots of suddenlies in the Bible. Suddenly this happened. But if you look at every single one of them, you will see a preparation beforehand. You will see sometimes years of blood, sweat, and tears that go into, let's just look at the building of the temple. And, you know, all the lives and the money and the everything that went into that. And the preparation of it before that scripture that says, suddenly God came into his temple.
400 years of labor.
Yeah, 400 years of captivity before deliverance for the Israelites. Hallelujah. Yes. I agree completely. Who else has a comment, question? It is.
Just want to say thank you for the teaching. Great lesson.
Thank you, Mitt. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you, sis. Now you got all your strength back. You're back up 100% for us. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I'm getting there. Thank you, Mitch.
Ignite brain drum.
Say again.
That was Reggie saying good night.
Good night, Reggie. God bless you. Hallelujah.
He said, God bless you. That was awesome tonight. Thank you. I enjoyed it so much.
Praise the Lord.
And yep. I'll see you in
and
the morning.
Yes, we will
oh,
be here. I will be here. Actually, Phil has to leave like 6 a.m., but I
oh,
will
goodness.
Be here for the kids. Yeah, I'll be here.
Hey, good night.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
God.
Well, let's let Phil pray us into this week and
oh, yes.
bless us with that Aaronic benediction. Anybody else got something to say before he does that?
Excellent teaching. I appreciated it very much. This is Helen.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you for being with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you that you seal it in the heart of your people in a positive, powerful way, that they can operate in your anointing in a new way with knowledge and with understanding of the power that is in them. So thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, all your benefits. We honor you and give you glory. And with your permission, my Father, I will bless your people this evening into this week. We just pray especially that the anointing is with everyone all week, as the anointing on these words, that it touch your heart in Hebrew, then in English. The Aaronic benediction from Numbers, the 6th chapter.
Ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha Yifunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha Ve'yisem lecha Shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. Peace that passes all understanding. And we say, add to this prayer, in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this word. Thank you for all that you are. Camp your angels around us this week. Give us success in all areas, Lord. Primarily in your anointing on all that we do and say, to bring about the results that you would have come about as we take ground for you in this earth, in this time, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you all. We love you. And this message will be repeated Friday night at 8:30. We will see you at the King's Table in the morning at 7:15, those of you who dial in. God bless you all. Good night.
Good night. God bless.
Thank you.
All right, good night.
Hallelujah.